Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need to update your window treatments with Window Images blinds and shades. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Plus, get them trimmed to width in-store for free. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Our organization is called Hold the Reins. We use horsemanship to teach guys how to emotionally regulate, be present moment focus, and allow them to narrate their own story to us.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit Podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit Podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button wherever you get your show. So today, before we dive into our special guests, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. And this week we have, what is your favorite thing about the place that you live in? Favorite thing about your place?
Go ahead, Mike.
You got it? That one off. Virginia Beach is where I've been since 08, and it took a while to grow on me. The area just didn't seem to have a lot of character. It's really saturated with military. But, you know, the longer I lived there, the more I got to understand the culture, and it has everything you need. You can go deep sea fishing. You can get in the inlets. You can get in the rivers, the bays. You can get crabs. You can go clam harvesting. You can shoot deer, ducks, bear. You can go surf. You have all of that at your disposal within an hour radius of you. So Virginia Beach, it needs a little bit more Western horse culture, but we're out to fix that. But I think Virginia Beach has everything.
Huh. It does sound nice.
Yeah, that does sound nice. Morgan lived
in... Yeah, I'll go next. Dive in with both feet. So I live a little bit west of the Tidewater area, kind of Franklin, Southampton County. And I moved out here 4 years ago looking for, because as a professional horseman, you're always looking to get out of the mud. And y'all live where there's not a lot of mud. It's a lot drier where you are. But if you've been out here, I think you have. you would remember that it gets pretty wet and swampy. And so we moved out here to Cortland, Virginia, and I didn't know what to expect. And what I learned almost immediately was the demographic here is a country culture. It's not black. It's not white. It's a mix of races, a mix of everything. And people treat each other with a country attitude. And when you're in Walmart, and again, it's just super racially mixed, there is no undertones of race at all in this area. It's just a really blended community. And it's been, to me, a pleasure to, you know, as we've traveled around the world, you see all sorts of things. And to be in this environment where it's just so comfortable for my family and for me and, you know, church and all these other things that we're involved in, I enjoy that a lot.
That's nice. Is that north of Virginia Beach?
No, due west.
So due if west. You're okay.
Familiar with the area, if you just go straight out 58 towards Emporia, we're about 30 minutes before you get to Emporia.
Nice. Well, we You've live
got
like
a traffic ticket in this town,
right out there.
We live 45 minutes northwest of Houston, but we're in the woods. People say Houston, they think that we're in the city. We are not. We live on a dirt road. You can tell it by our cars. Sorry for wherever we're going. We're covered in dirt. But I love our spot because we are close to the city, close enough that if we want to go to a football game, Texans game or Astros or something like that, or need to get to the airport, it's 45 minutes away. But we're in the woods. We're just tucked into this little rural community of Magnolia, and I love it.
We're in Magnolia.
Yeah, we are.
Deep in there, it sounds like.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
My favorite part, all the people, great food, and yeah, you're not too far from one of the biggest airports in the world, so you can get to wherever you want to go, and without many connections, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
Yeah, Hunter's our traveler, so he just wants to be able to hop on a plane and land in Tokyo or land in wherever, and he's
that
there.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. I'm same way with the country vibe. Mm-hmm. I can smell when I'm outside of Texas. I know it smells, the states smell completely different to me, especially when we go overseas. You know, oh. I mean, for whatever that is, it hits me like a ton of bricks. And when I pull into my town, especially during the seasons, one of my favorite days is after a rain when the crisp is up and the dew's it's not freezing, but it's kind of chilly, right? And there's that mist rolling through the trees. And then when you take that deep breath, you can feel it all the way in and all the way out. And then you got the cows and the horses, the farm smell. And then when you walk into my house, it smells like a candle factory.
Make candles.
Like, y'all remember that when we were growing up? You walk in somebody's house, smell like a Bed Bath & Beyond or like an Accents. Remember those stores where there's just kind of like all these antiques and it smells like you don't want to, something, love's in there. It's like so that kind of vibe. And,
sure.
That got me so much growing up when I would leave. The one thing I was expecting when I would come back home was it was a refreshing kind of rejuvenating thing. That's the beautiful thing.
Tied to your soul.
Yeah, man. Yeah, exactly.
All
it's
right.
Almost like the original, the breast source that your soul fed on or something like that. When I come back home, it knows
tethered
it.
Tethered to it.
Yeah. That's a pretty good question.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for coming on, Michael. I appreciate it. You got a guest with you.
Richard Garner.
Yep. The way
he's
we do.
He's our president of Hold the Reins. He's an old frog himself, and I'll leave enough room for him to tell his own story, but he's the man.
Awesome.
Yeah, let's start with where you were born.
I was born in Dayton, Ohio. I'm a military brat. My dad was in the Air Force, and I was born at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And, you know, before I started hitting my teens, we moved to Georgia and spent the rest of my time in Lawrenceville, Georgia. And then my early 20s, I moved out to Tucson and I joined the Navy from Tucson. Funny story about that. We're sitting in the Batcave, and I think I'm in third phase, and some kid comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, you're Hall." I was like, "That's what my helmet says." He said, "Are you Mike Hall from Tucson?" I stood up. I was like, "Who are you? Why do you know my name?" It was like, "Well, at the recruiting office, they brag about you. You're the first guy to make it through Hell Week from the recruiting office."
That's a big deal.
I was like, those dudes wouldn't give me a contract. They kept me from, I had to pick a SEAL source rating. I just kind of lost my temper on them. I was like, "Bro, I'm going to have to hustle back to that recruiting office and tell them what I think about them.
How did you find out about the SEAL teams anyways?
Listen, the time I spent between 18 and 23 years old, I did everything wrong. I was lucky enough to have a dad who had buckets of forgiveness in his heart and kept me from spiraling further. And he just blankly asked me one day, he's like, well, what do you want to do? And it was just one of those things where I just spit out the first thing that my heart said. I said, I want to be a SEAL. And, you know, after some conversations, he's a retired Air Force guy. He's like, well, let's stop by the Air Force office. So I was like, well, they have PJs and CCT. What are they called?
CCTs, yeah. Controller. Absolutely. Yeah.
And
I can't forget them dudes, man. That. They saved my freaking life, bro.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I got them tattooed on me, man, forever.
I heard, yeah. Well, we walk into the Air Force recruiter's office, and like I said, between 18 and 22, 23 years old, I made a lot of bad decisions. So the Air Force recruiter looks at me. He's like, well, what you been up to since you graduated high school? And I was like, well, I didn't hold anything back. I just gave him everything. He didn't bust out a pen, paper, nothing. He was like, there's no room for you in our Air Force.
Wow. Really? Oh my God.
So we walked out of the office and we're actually staring out in the parking lot. My dad's sitting right here or standing, and he kind of goes, well, where do we go next? I was like, let's go to the Navy office. I can become a SEAL. He's like, let's not tell them the entire story. Sure.
Oh my gosh.
So that's how, you know, I made it from world-class loser to sitting here with y'all.
That's crazy.
I don't know, man. I feel like some of those, that 18 to, ours backed up a little bit further. I was right with 17 with us. That hate the world phase, 17 to 23, man, you just kind of pissed. I don't know when they, whatever happens to a SEAL, but when they load all that energy into us,
yeah,
man, you know, we can get pretty crazy with it.
Uh-huh.
Thank God Buds exists. That program right. exists. I mean, thank God, because a lot of our guys, we're not bad guys, man. You just got to have a place for them, because otherwise they'll just go so hard in the paint, they'll run over everything or wind right. up in prison.
Right.
I mean, no fault of their own, really. That's just the way it is. You got some wild boys down here. You got to have some training for them, and SEALs just was the way to go.
No, I agree. And that might have been what you're talking about. That might have been part of my dysfunction from 18 to 22. Like, I didn't have an outlet for that energy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a place where, you know, I could be surrounded by guys that were like me. And just as soon as I got to Buds, I was like, oh, this is what it's all about. Yeah. I just felt right at home.
Yeah,
a place where somebody values controlled aggression. The mm-hmm. problem is, before you learn to control it, it can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Especially if you're from a town where there's nobody like you.
Sure.
And it's no fault of their own. I mean, it's just like, if they're real calm and collective and they don't have that inside them, and then you have one of those with you, it's tough. I mean, most people don't want to deal with that. But he said it. Michael said it perfect. The minute you drop us around our siblings, especially when the rank is there, the motherfuckers are coming in the line like you can't believe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, up to the Buds class, up to the day I've seen guys measure up the time they graduated and the day they graduated just to see who has more authority, that kind of thing, man. And when our guys, when you see that, that's why I want to get everybody together. It's something. It's something.
Marcus, think about this. It's not peer pressure if you don't consider the people around you peers. And that's why when you show up at Buds and those guys that graduate, you now have peers. You now have a reason to honor the code.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, you're around people that you're just looking at them like, well, I only want the respect of people I respect, and I'm not real impressed with this crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And once you find yourself in a team, it's about as good as it's going to get.
I'll never forget the moment that happened. You want to talk about peeking past a veil when you see on the other side of that and you see them guys and you're like, thank God they're there. I mean, I'm glad they're, and it's over for us. I mean, then it's, you know, we can't turn back.
Right.
That's why a lot of our guys, some of our guys will burn out, man. They go too hard. If you remove them from the pack, they don't know what to do.
For right. sure.
Where was your first command at?
I was at 8 with your brother.
Oh, man, good. That's because when
I was at eight, and then I went through Green Team 2013. And then I retire in June, so we're at the end of the road here.
Oh, wow.
How about that? How fast that went? I think the war has just made our time fly.
Yeah.
Because I could talk to, I mean, it did, right? That's what happened.
Time flying, Marcus. 40 years ago, I was 3/4 of the way through Buds.
Oh, my gosh.
And I realized that the other day. I'm like, wait a minute. 1985, I graduated from Buds in May. Holy crap, that was 40 years ago.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, now I understand why the guy's so old in the mirror whenever I look at myself. I'm like, man, you're getting old. But, hey, at least I'm still here.
Hey, brother, I heard someone said the other day, man, just don't let the old man in all the way.
Yeah.
So yeah. What bus class were you?
132.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was right before training started to get easy.
Jeez, I knew that was coming. You know what? And you're right. It was harder when you went and said, you have to do this.
Yeah.
I'm well trained in this game. 132. Oh, man.
Marcus, what were you?
228. And my brother was 237. So we were right in between your centennial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And back when I went through, the twos and sevens were the actual winter class where they started in October, graduated in May. And my story's a little different than Mike's. Nobody knew what SEALs were back in 1981 when I joined the Navy. And I hated school. I was telling his son that the other day. I wanted out, so I learned to play their game. I grew up on a ranch in Oregon. You know, been a cowboy my entire life, and managed to get out of school in 3 years of high school instead of four. And I was just turned 17 when I graduated, and I was a buckaroo full time for the next few years, cowboying and thinking I had figured it out. And in Eastern Oregon, as you probably know, it gets real cold in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And so one day I was feeding cows, and it was probably 20, 25 degrees below zero. And we get done feeding, and we came in, I think it was on a Sunday, and there was some NFL playoff game. And I was just so cold, and I'm trying to warm up, and I'm looking, and this recruiting commercial comes on, and the helicopters come over the horizon. It says, "We'll take you from high school to flight school."
Oh, nice.
Like, wow.
That's a good one.
They're warm.
That's a pretty good
one. I jumped in my truck and drove 150 miles, found the recruiting office, and joined the Navy. And I was an air crewman for 2 or 3 years, and then found my way into Bud's training, and the rest is history.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Wow.
How many years did you pull out of there?
Out of the Navy?
Yes, sir.
So I took what they called the Temporary Early Retirement Act in 1996. So I did exactly 15 years. I had just picked up E8, and I had to make a decision. Did I want to get out and do other things, or did I want to finish out a 20-year career? And thanks to Uncle Bill Clinton, I bailed early.
He didn't get out of the fight then, though. He has spent a lot of time over.
Where'd you go after that?
Places continuing to fight in another way.
Yeah.
So he got out of one, outfit just to jump into another.
Yeah. That we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that. Absolutely. That was '96.
Yeah.
That was one of the things when I think I'd done my first appointment is when you could do the contracting thing came online. And like guys were just flooding out of there, and we kind of backfilled into that whole arena. It was, I remember when that was pulling guys out. And then the wars were just pulling the younger guys in. So when did you get out again, Michael?
He's getting out in June.
No, in June.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like here recently. Oh, you're still in. Still in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get out. June 30th is my retirement date.
All right, bro. Let me tell you something. Yeah. For every 10 you're in, it takes about two to detox out here. just remember I told you that.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of where our program, or, you know, that's why we kind of started this thing, is to help guys hit the pressure relief valve along the way. If not, have them hit the brakes, at least take 1 foot off the gas is how I like to put it. Because, you know, we just stand with 2 feet on the gas and hold on to the corners as tight as we can. And sometimes we don't hold on to it. Sometimes we detonate our lives and get back on. And
it's because you won't let go. Yeah, man. It's because you won't let go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marcus, you know that feeling when the entire world is not moving nearly as fast as the inside of you. And whenever I say that around guys like us, they do exactly what you did. They go, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you make that change? Because that is where we run into problems, because the world's too slow. We're moving too fast on the inside. And typically we start trying to numb that down and slow it down, and we do it in unproductive ways. And of course, alcohol is the first one that comes to mind, and it's the easiest, most accessible way to do it.
Oh, we were raised with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get into this. What you guys created?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. What are you doing now?
Our organization is called Hold the Reins. We use horsemanship to teach guys how to emotionally regulate, be present moment focus, and allow them to narrate their own story to us. We're the only organization in our area, possibly in the nation that I know of, that's run by frogmen. And, you know, when you walk into a room and you see another frogman, you just became best friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we welcome the SEAL, SWIC, and EOD community, because that's a community we know. And we typically, when guys drive through our gates, they typically drop the guard pretty quick and allow us to be we allow the brotherhood to do what it does. But the horse really does all the work.
You don't have to try to do anything. God
do all the work. And Rich and I just say we like to make the introduction. And Rich, God bless him, he's the horse and special operations whisperer, man. It's been such a blessing to watch what's been happening here.
Yeah, I was, Marcus, I went back into the fight, as Mike was alluding to, and I worked for the State Department, USAID, DOD, and some others doing the contracting thing, security work, did it in some really unpleasant places, and got out of that after I'd lived 5 years in Iraq. Worked in North Africa, Southern Philippines, the list goes on. And so in 2009, I left Iraq, went back to a few more places. 2013 was my last trip to Afghanistan. And that I'm moving a lot faster than the world around me thing kind of caught up with me. And in between, I had bought a place in Chesapeake and started collecting horses. I didn't realize that I was starting to do my own equine therapy on myself.
Yeah,
so I looked out the window and realized I had 12 horses that belonged to me, and I was working with them every day. And a few people started noticing what I was doing, started doing the extreme Mustang makeovers. And the Virginian Pilot gave us, I think, 7 or 8 pages over 3 different issues when I did my first or second one of those. And so I became a professional horseman. So now all of a sudden I've got, you know, a barn with a thriving horse culture and people coming through the gate and boarding horses, training horses, competing. And so as time went by, I started hosting major clinicians from around the country, and I get a call one day and this guy says, yeah, my name is so-and-so, and I'm in the Navy, and I want to talk about riding in this clinic. And somehow the vernacular, I'm like, he sounds like he might be a frogman. And I said, well, I used to be a SEAL. He goes, yeah, me too. I said, cool. I said, I used to be out at the command. Me too. I said, yeah, I was in gold. He goes, me too. So we became like this and started riding horses. We became pretty tight, and to the point where his son has the same middle name as me. I pinned his anchors on when he made chief.
Oh, nice.
And so the horse brought us together. And so Mike knows this guy, Scott. And when Scott, Mike went to Scott and said, hey, I want to do something with active duty SEALs and the horse. I know there's something there, but I don't know exactly how to go about it. Do you know anybody that I can learn horsemanship from? And so that was where that connection came from. And Mike called me up, and we started talking. And the more I listened to what he had to say, I said, you know what? I'm all in. And he goes, well, don't you need some time to think about it? And I said, nope. See, everything I've done in my life, I've taken care of nonprofits. I've been a professional horseman. I feel like God has created in me the way or a persona that's going to be able to help guys in this process. And Mike and I got started, and May was the first time we really started working with guys that were active duty and retired. And we've seen some incredible results. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that we're not therapists. We're just guys with some common sense and a shared background with most of these guys. We have a very strong faith, and we also understand the horse and what it can do for people. And it's been an amazing journey, and we take away as much as the guys do.
Yeah, that's fact.
Yeah.
So how does it work? Are guys going and just doing like spending the day out there, or do you have a place for them to stay and you're doing multi-day retreats or what?
So that's going to be in the future. And that's a great question. And we're sitting in a, what we would consider our guest house at this point. I was fortunate when we bought this property, there's two houses on it. And my elderly parents lived here until their shelf life was exceeded. And we were able to take care of them until their last day. And so now we've got this extra place where guys can stay. And we've got agreements with some organizations where if they need to kind of pluck a guy out of a bad situation and drop them here, we can take care of them. So what's going to happen on a person's first day when they come in? And it's sometimes, and Marcus, you know, horses, you've been around them. You know, they have this preconceived notion a lot of times that they're going to do X, Y, and Z with a horse. I'm going to go for a horse ride. The horse has a specific language all its own, and it has a specific way of perceiving human emotion and the emotions of its herd mates. And these guys will come in, and my goal on that first session is for them to feel the horse, to feel the energy of the horse, let the horse feel their energy, and to allow them, and there's a series of exercises that we go through with them to emotionally release. And when I say that, I didn't realize how that was going to work out when we got started. We've got some people that have coached us. We're not making it up as we go. And I will tell you that these giant tattooed killers come out, and I'm going to say 50% or more of them on their first session will either cry openly or just break down and get real weepy, because it's a place where they're so safe that nobody here, you know, in the teams, you got to be perfect. You don't get to screw up. And there's a reason, a good reason for that, right? Zero defect. Because people die when you screw up. I want them to learn. We've discussed this. They need to learn that they can make mistakes in life. It's okay. There's consequences aren't finite. Just let it go. And to see them just start to emotionally come down, and the horse just slows them down. And we've seen some pretty incredible things with them.
Yeah, I'd like to say you can't team guy your way around horses. So,
sure. For some I dare you to try.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you got a wild ass kid, put him around a wild ass horse, it'll calm him down quick. My mother would always say that.
Yeah. I've got a never quit story around that we'll get around to.
Yeah, come on, let's hear it.
I tried, and I've done 9 of the extreme Mustang makeovers, and all but the last 2 created a doctor visit or a hospital bill.
Yeah, they don't mess around. So where my head went with that, I focused about the guys getting out. I think it should be an enlistment for the guys to get out. I think once that starts, we ask them, like, hey, are you educated? Because when guys go through the teams, they could barely get in, barely pass the ASFAB. When they get out, they could become doctors. Whatever happens to us in our study, I've seen it. I've seen our guys that shouldn't be doctors become doctors. And so that's how I know it works. You could be the horseman. Like, it's literally a place where guys are like, okay, you're going to raise the dogs. You're going to have a dog till that sucker dies. That was one of the hardest things to do, was when you get patched up with those suckers, then they got to die on you. And team guy, for whatever reason, that's our life. You got some farm boys coming out, some horsemen. Can you imagine if we got a chance to raise that sucker from a foal all the way up? They you know how long the horses live. That's a buddy for almost life. 20 so plus years if you can hold on to them.
We joke. We've got a little black horse out here that's my personal riding horse that I bred the mare to the stallion. He was born in my barn. He's 11 years old this coming year. And he is really, at this point, we've got 11 other horses that we can use and we have used, but this little black horse is hold the reins. He's the guy that we raised him from a foal. And so if it's good in him, we put it in him. If it's bad, we're the ones that made the mistake. And you're right. I mean, that's very perceptive, because getting them early and helping them along, a horse is an amazing critter. You know, they're perfect until we come walking into their world. Everything we want to do with them, they already know how to do. It's just we put ourselves on their back and get in their way.
Oh.
And then expect them to do it anyway.
Well, we conquered the world with them.
That's right. Doing things that are not natural for them to do.
Oh. Matter of fact, you have to be living in an era like that to really understand what that sucker's capable of.
Yeah.
No one really, because this is my favorite part, because most frogmans are like, you know, you get out and you got your horse. We all ride Harleys. We have our own motorcycle crew and stuff like that. And then we have the real horseman. The difference between that steel is it doesn't want to stay underneath you. That horse, even if you're passed out on that sucker's back, he'll keep you up there. That's like a partner. And if you've never been around them, they're amazing. They're smart.
That's right.
I mean, we're talking about like an intelligence kind of deal. And it's a blessing. What y'all are doing is absolutely a blessing, because it works, because you can't talk back to them. And that's when you put a team guy around something stronger than they are, they automatically know it. Like, we sense that. It's like something when something walks up. That's what our PTSD is, man. It's that psycho tingle. I can sense some danger. And when something bothering me is around, like one of the ponies, they know that. And when you really watch them around people, and especially kids who are autistic or have something, that the horses know. Matter of fact, a stallion won't even mess with him. He'll just kind of walk around. He'll kill me, right? But with them, it's amazing. So that's how you really know, because of the way they can.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You
know,
like,
Marcus,
that.
You've seen it, and you're talking about it right now. That horse is 1,000 pound plus or minus receptor of energy. All it does is senses the environment around it. As a prey animal, it's attuned to the energy in the environment. And so we come stumbling into their world, and we're all dysregulated. We're drunk. We're angry with somebody. We've got all these things going on, and the horse looks at us like, I feel that.
Yeah.
And I can... That little black horse, when I put somebody on him, and we usually try to get them to ride bareback on their first visit out here, he will instantly look at me and start telling me what's going on his back. And of course, he can't speak, but just his body language, you know how they speak. Mm-hmm. And he'll start communicating to me, this one's uncomfortable, you need to help him out. And I had a guy come out, and he was in a tough spot, and he had just experienced some loss of life, and and he was just sitting there and he was just kind of shaking a little bit. And a lot of times we'll have a little conversation and then we do some things with a horse and grooming and just kind of warming him up. This guy was in such a tough spot. I said, you know what? I said, let's walk in there and talk to this old mare. We had a 24-year-old retired racehorse mare who was in the round corral and she's eating her alfalfa. And we walk in and Marcus, this guy, he was tight. And he's just kind of standing there shaking and looking at her. And she stopped eating her hay. She looked at him and she walked up and she put her forehead on his chest. Mm. And she just kind of leaned on him. And he looked at me and he says, what do I do? I said, just kind of softly pet her neck. And you could see him and he just was petting. And he just kind of slowly came down. Took about 5 minutes and you could see him. His breath started to regulate and he was just kind of relaxing. And then she looked at him, looked at me and went back and ate her hay. Mm. And he goes, well, what was that about? And I said, you know what? I wish I knew. I think you were so far outside your comfort zone. She didn't want you in her herd, in her presence, feeling that way. And so she came over to help you come back down so you could be a member of the team.
They're a living, breathing biofeedback mechanism.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. You be cool. I'll be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think. Well, that's how long have you been doing this now?
So we've been actually doing the programming since May. So what are we, 8 or 9 months into it? What I didn't realize over the last almost 15 years doing this professionally, 99% of the clients in the retail horse world on the East Coast are all females. And these females, it took years for it to dawn on me. That horse is not a horse to them. It's a baby, it's a puppy, it's their emotional support animal. Yeah. And so to survive in that world and provide a valuable service, I was doing this kind of work with all these women previously and their horses. I just didn't realize what it was preparing me to do now with the guys.
Yeah. Funny how the Lord does that to us, right? Why am I doing this damn job? Oh, it's for that down the road. Yeah, okay, all right. I didn't know that. I get that.
That's really cool. So how do people, like, if there's a active duty, are you doing active and retired?
We are, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And dependents. Mm-hmm.
So if they wanted to come out to your ranch, how do they find you?
Yeah, we have an application online. We've reached into the therapists, counselors, and chaplains throughout our area that they can provide us as a resource. We've worked with the transition teams at the commands out here. We're in lockstep with the Sealed Future Foundation, and we're inking some other agreements with other nonprofits, other benevolent organizations that support our community as well. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and all of those things Hunter has. I trust that he's going to be able to share those when this airs. So if there's anything anyone needs, you can find us at holdthereins.org.
Nice.
So let me ask you a question. Is it possible to do a cattle push? I never got a chance to do this before I got hurt.
Come on with it, Marcus. Keep peeling back the layers.
Dude, bro, all right.
Every time it rains out here,
I got Lonesome Dove on the damn television.
Rich knows a lot of people across the nation.
Want to do that, right?
So we've got some ranchers out west. And when I say out west, Wyoming, Oklahoma right now, currently, who've already extended the offer. Rich, when you get these guys to the point they can ride and rope a little bit, load them up and bring them out, and we'll let them cowboy for a couple of weeks for real.
You can't believe what that does to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Marcus would do that.
I mean, when you take a team guy, throw him on a horse and have him do that, say we had out there 2 weeks where you had to learn. No, one or 2 weeks. This we're talking about team guys. A couple months to learn how to ride, get behind there and throw a rope, right? That pure cowboying thing and then push that herd.
Yep.
I mean, back up the Chisholm Trail all the way through Texas, straight up to where that's like a rite of passage. You're not allowed to get out and get your retirement till you do your damn cattle drive. You know, something like that, right? If it, you know as well as I do, team guys would eat that shit up, man. You like, if you got a buckle after that, if you gave a team guy a buckle that shined brighter than his trident or his crown, when he got done with that, you know the guys would be lining up. They're freaking lining
That's
up.
That's an interesting point.
You know what I mean? Like, push team guys, we wouldn't even stay on the dirt trail. We get on the damn main freeway and just go because all the bars and everything from here to all the way to the top. I mean, with the cows. I couldn't even imagine what that would turn into, man.
No more bars. That's we're trying to get.
We try to dissuade guys from getting too far into it anyway.
Yeah.
We're a sober program. We're a faith-based program. And, we are too. You know, we would encourage our guys to continue making good decisions if they were on a cattle drive with us. But, hey, we're not here to babysit anybody.
Yeah.
We're talking about team guys, bro. The reason you and I had to get sober is because the ones coming out, man, somebody's got to watch out for them. Otherwise, they'll just go straight into the drink.
That's a great point, you know.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That transition, it's hard. It's hard for team guys.
Yeah. I had a guy that showed up and we worked with him. And then he said, hey, can I come out and work with you and do some more? And I said, you bet. And he showed up and he was just drunk off his tail and staggers out of his car. And I said, well, there's Muck Fork over there. Let me grab the cart. And we put him to work and it was hot. It was summertime. And he worked and worked and we picked up manure and just did work around the farm until he was sober. And then he got in his car and he went home. And then he showed up the next time he was sober, showed up the next time he was drunk. If he showed up drunk, he got to work. If he showed up sober, he got to play with horses.
He kept coming back.
How many weeks did he go cleaning horse shit before he realized it was the drink that was putting him in there?
I think we decided we would address it head on after about 3 weeks.
Oh, check.
Yeah,
he didn't figure it out on his own.
Of course not.
So no. One thing that I want to just bring to y'all's attention, if you don't know about it, do you know about the Danny Dietz Memorial Roping?
Yeah, is that's down in Florida?
It's Texas. In Texas.
Oh, that's the right. What's his name? There's another one I'm thinking of. Sorry.
It's okay. Patsy and DJ Shipley put it on, and it's in Decatur, Texas, Memorial Day weekend. And this year, it's the 20th anniversary of Operation Red Wing. So there's a real big rodeo that they're putting on. We would love for you. I'm on the board of the Danny Dietz Memorial Foundation. We would love for y'all to come out and just share what y'all are doing with everybody there. And there's a bunch of frogmen that go to that. So it'd be great for y'all.
We would love to come out. We would love to do that. Thank you. Yeah, that sounds like exactly where we need to be.
Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend in Decatur, Texas. It's just, north of Dallas or somewhere around Dallas? But it's just cowboying. I mean, it's at a big rodeo arena, and they do...
It's growing every year.
Yeah, every year it's growing, but they actually have... Like, it's competitive. It's not PBR. I'm saying PRCA. One of those competitive rodeo things go out there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but...
I've been to a rodeo in Decatur a couple years ago.
Oh, nice.
I got, we trained in some of those major cities, and I know a fireman out there that grew up roping. He's a Dallas fireman. He recently retired. He's like, Mike, you want to go to the rodeo? I was like, yeah.
How fun.
I said, all right. Let's get in the truck and drive.
It was probably
the same
place.
Ain't nothing to him, but I was like, are we ever going to get to this dang rodeo? Like, I know Decatur, Georgia, but I don't know Decatur, Texas.
It's out in the middle of nowhere like Decatur, Georgia.
Yeah.
It's out in the middle of nowhere. If you hear that name, Decatur, you know it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Nice.
No matter what state it's in.
Yeah. It is out in the middle of nowhere, but it's a really fun time, and they do a really good job of honoring the fallen and bringing the cowboys in to mix in with it. It's a nice time. So,
you know, there's multiple times in the Bible where it's detailed that to connect to our deepest self or to connect to God, a lot of religious people, a lot of mystics, Jesus himself even went to nature. Yeah. What you're talking about, what I'm hearing is that to get back in touch with nature and build the appropriate skills would be a change in the right direction for society.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The things that a horse will do for someone is, and it's infinite. And you look at the support that was helping out the residents in North Carolina after the Hurricane Helene, all delivered by mules and horses.
Yeah. Hmm.
Coda has
has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Awesome. What's your favorite horse on the ranch?
Mine's Missy. She's a big old gal. She's a lover, but she is the most beautiful horse. We even put her in our video.
Yeah, she's an off-track thoroughbred. And if you happen to access our digital business card, which is a video that's online, you'll see her loping down the arena. And she's pretty much perfection. Mm-hmm. And my wife breeds thoroughbreds, and she's got a big colored stallion, and he will throw color, which is kind of a unique thing in the thoroughbred world. And those horses are all destined to be jumpers and event horses and so forth.
So Missy, does she get along with everybody?
She does. And when you go out there and you start cleaning her corral, she comes up and you feel this hot breath on your ear, and you're like, okay, honey. I'm pretty careful with horses. I've dealt with a lot of really dangerous horses, and people made them that way. And then they call me up and go, hey, can you fix my horse? And so I don't let them get inappropriate with me. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice way of saying, get off of me. That mare, I let her just kind of nuzzle on me because she's just so respectful and so kind. She just wants to be with people. And so she's just a beautiful critter.
Mm. Had her out. We had some pickle barrels out in the big round corral one day, getting her through some emotions. We were using the horse as a way to show that horses process emotion and they can work through things. And we're just as capable as doing the same thing. And Missy was out there for 30 minutes, drenched. She was just pouring sweat. We were like, there's no quitting this horse. We should probably just go ahead and hose her off and let her enjoy the rest of the day. But she puts out too. She is by far my favorite horse out here.
I love that. Well, Marcus and I are going to have to bring his mom out there because she is the biggest horse whisperer I've ever met.
We grew up with my mother and the horses, man. We lost everything a couple of times growing up. I mean, everything. No couch, teeth, nothing, not even a house. And we had a horse.
She'd keep her horse.
Can you believe that?
Yeah,
I don't remember what the stat was.
And I'd have to go feed the damn thing. I'm thinking, I should say, like, because I grew up with a whole life, but yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I heard that the average horse owner has a combined household income of less than $50,000 a year, but they've got a horse.
Yeah, yeah. A horse, man. Great.
And I say it all the time. We spend money we don't have on horses we don't need that can kill us for reasons we can't define.
Yeah, that's about right.
I don't know what that is. If you put money in the front, it craps it right out the back. I sit and watch it happen every day.
But to a horse person, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
When my mother goes to heaven,
I'm going to find a mare, jet black with a white mane and a white tail, and I'm going to name it Mother. And I'm going to have her with me until I've already made the plan with that for sure. Do y'all do your own? Who comes out to do the farrier? Do y'all have one, or do you teach that?
Yeah. The farrier was just here yesterday, and our next scheduled session, we're going to bring a bunch of the guys in, and he'll trim, I think, 8 or 9 horses at once. And then he will teach that skill. Obviously they're not going to be farriers, but he'll explain how it all works and let them get involved.
Well, you never know. That's a hard job. Yep. I was watching some of the videos on YouTube there. I go to reel them guys doing that. It was soothing. Just to watch a farrier go to work.
It looks painful.
There's a lot of farrier schools that take the GI Bill, too. Mm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
matter of fact, I wouldn't even have thought about that, but that's good. Have you used yours yet? Mine's just sitting there collecting dust.
Yeah, mine's just sitting there, too.
Yeah,
this one keeps me pretty busy, so I don't know if the GI Bill wants to pay me to work here. I'd take it.
That's awesome.
I know.
Pay me for this education.
We have all. There's a lot of opportunities out there for the guys when they're coming out, man. We just, I guess, knowledge of where they're at and how to get access to us.
There's a lot of resources, but they're all over the place.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like we need that central hub, or it needs to be, and we're doing this.
That's coming, actually.
Yeah, we're doing that. All our guys have gotten out, and we're coming back in, and we're kind of realizing, hey, we have access to almost... No, not only. We have access to everything, really.
We can't say it yet, but there is a central hub coming, and we are involved in it.
Yeah, so. To bring that together. So when you roll out, man, you're ready to go. You not only have your package, but you've been taught and trained, and information is right there at your disposal. So your service to the country is, and once you do that, it's on.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man, because like I said, I'm retiring in 6 months, and there are so many resources being thrown at me. And a lot of the advice is like, care, try everything. It's like, I don't have that much time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many different things out there. I don't know what's the most valuable. What could I put in my top three? I can hunt those down now. And then.
Yeah, we're coming up with that.
Got to prioritize them. It's
how about that? You know what? I heard somebody say that. What that is? You're paralyzed by opportunity. How about a place to be? How would you ever have thought that was a place to be?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. We're like, I had so many opportunities, I didn't even make a move.
Yeah, because you're inundated with them.
Man, you just don't know. And they're all, it's a great place to be. Yeah. We just got to streamline it.
There is something coming out. We can't announce it yet, but there is something that's actually AI driven that takes all of your qualifications and it'll spit out what you qualify for, and you can categorize what's most important to you. So.
Mm.
That is coming up.
Yeah,
soon.
We'd love to be involved with everything you guys have going on. And that's one thing that we pride ourselves on is our ability to network. We had one guy who, he didn't make it past Great Lakes in the NSW system, but we welcomed him out and he was able to med retire, and we were able to network him into a cowboy out in Idaho.
Hmm.
And we were able to get him stood up with a LinkedIn page. We just kind of, again, used our knowledge and life experience to move this guy in the right direction. And we're happy to do that for any and everybody who, you know, like Rich said, needs to be plucked up and just taken out of their normal environment. Come here, slow down, take some time to assess their options and get on horseback. This is by far the best environment. My son came out here and, just to observe and help out. And Rich asked him, Mike, what do you think about today? He just looked out into the pasture and he's like, this is the only place in the world where I feel like I don't have the weight of the world on my shoulders. And I was like,
I love that.
Wow.
That's deep. He's only what, 15?
15. He's 16 now, but he's 15 when he said.
Wow.
That's where you go to find that for sure.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah. Well, the things that people say, and Marcus, you know, from the conversations that you have horseback, you never would have thought you would have ended up in that conversation. But two people sitting on a horse together, something about the movement, there's something about it that causes people to open up and share. And we had a group of guys that we'd finished with, and they were out in the arena and they were still on horses. And I was starting to work with another guy, and they, for lack of a better term, they were doing group therapy out there, just sharing. We had somebody come in and teach for a weekend, just horsemanship. And at the end on Sunday afternoon, the guys were just sitting around and they started sharing, here's what's happening to me in this relationship. And somebody else says, well, that happened to me, but have you tried this? And they started like real men, they started being vulnerable and sharing things that are actually important in life with each other. And who would have ever thought that a bunch of team guys would do that with each other? You know, just really open up and say, I'm hurting here. Does anybody have any resources?
So you know how, especially around the fire. Because around that campfire at the end of the day, man, when you sit down and the team guy typically be like, hey, my life sucks, but it doesn't suck as bad as my ass is hurting right now from getting kicked by that horse this whole freaking. And that's how it happens. Because it's not complaining with team guys. And that vulnerability, man, that person sitting next to you, that's who can cover down on that. That's how that always worked. At the end of the day, when we debrief and you're sitting around and you'd screwed up, and the worst is when you screw up in the teams, man, because we like to say, man, we don't have to have enemies. We got friends. And, our friends, our teammates, tear us down. Like, you can't believe the way we talk to each other, you couldn't believe it. But it's, you know, that there's love in there, and it's positive reinforcement, if you want to call it that. But, man, when you don't have that is when there's a problem.
Uh-huh.
That's what I noticed.
Yeah, so Mike and I made a decision early on that we wouldn't laugh at people and that we wouldn't joke them for their performance, because come on now. And that lasted about half the first session. And we were a team guy in our way through that. It just, it's got to be fun and funny. Yeah. But if it's done with a truly soft, loving heart, guys are like, man, I appreciate that.
Whatever it is with our guys, if we're all sitting there, everybody's sitting on those horses, all team guys, I dare you to complain. And then when you start complaining and we start laying on, you can't do nothing. If you get pissed and try to swing, we'll beat your ass to death and then bring you back and then put you back on the horse and we'll still keep going at it. And it doesn't matter what kind of background you're from. That tried to eliminate all that. It doesn't matter. And when afterwards, man, all that stuff goes away and we're together, it's the best. We have to have these places. It's like a repatriation back through Buds. Like Buds That's sends us into one direction, and when you come back out, these places send you back in and retune. You got to have them. Otherwise, we'll all die. You know, team guys, man, we're something, dude.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the culture that is ingrained in us, being in the teams, you know, I think that is something that's brought you this far in life. You know, if you could honestly ask yourself, would you still be here had you not been through Buds and SQT? Like that man, that dog's always been inside of you, but the teams brought it out of you.
Yeah.
Helped you be the man you are today. And that culture that you're emphasizing is, it's in our fabric now. It's in our DNA.
And that's why these guys will not open up generally with a therapist in formal therapy. Mm-hmm. And I've had therapists refer guys out. And one of them asked, hey, can I bring the therapist out with me? I said, yeah, bring her out. And she said, after it was over, she goes, I learned more about him in an hour and a half here than I learned in a year and a half in my office.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
your
she
new
said,
niche.
I've never seen him vulnerable, and then you made him vulnerable with that horse. And that's kind of the surprise thing that we do with them is, you know, we put them in a really vulnerable situation so that they can.
Yeah.
You're no longer the hairy chested, bulletproof frogman. You're now just a little worried about your safety.
Yeah.
And then we help the guys through that, obviously. And when they come out the other side, you know, there's a lot of confidence, and we've worked with a lot of wives. Almost adult children. We don't want to work with the little kids, but if they're, you know, 14, 15, 16, whatever, we've worked with them, and you bring them out. And I had a guy bring his wife out, and I normally will run the wife through the same program that I do with the team guy when he comes out the first time. And then he will witness it, and then I'll put them both on horses together, and then we talk about kind of what they saw. His wife gets out of the truck and she's out to here pregnant. And I'm like, I didn't know that was there. And she's like, oh yeah, he didn't tell you. So there was things I couldn't do with her. And so I ended up, Marcus, putting her husband on the horse bareback and working with him a little bit while she was there after she had worked with the horse on the ground and done some different things. And at the end I said, so, you know, how'd you feel about today? What are you taking away from this? And she said, I've never seen him willing to be vulnerable in front of me until today. Mm-hmm. And she said, that experience right there was worth every minute of our time. And I was like, yeah, I don't think team guys are ever vulnerable in front of their wives.
Yeah, that's special.
Learned something, right? And we're trying to, when we get that kind of feedback, we go, okay, file that away. That's important. Mm-hmm. And I've had people say things about the horse and I go, I've handled thousands of these things. I never thought about that. Thank you. You know, the input from a new guy, sometimes a fresh set of eyes to just open your eyes.
Just the way they say it. Just the way they freaking say it. I learned this from another team guy too. Your eyes eat first. And where every team guy, imagine you got an alpha from each walk of life. You pluck us all into one place. And then we get our asses kicked together and learn to communicate. And they'll say some stuff. A team guy will say something in the heat of the moment that it will take the heat away. You're like, how the hell do you see it like that? How were you raised to where you explain that like that? And there's this comedy that goes with that. And it's this levity. You remember that? You know what I'm talking about? And it's the best. I'm talking about going to work. The best part about being a team is when you show up to work Monday morning, be like, tell me what happened. Freaking tell me what happened. I know something happened. I want to hear it. And them guys with the weird look on their face, be like, you, start right now. And the chief will walk in there with that button. Let me hear it, man. Come on. I miss that so much, dude.
Yeah. That's a true statement.
It's a true statement.
That's funny. With you talking about the guy bringing his therapist out, when Marcus got back from Red Wing and they let him have some downtime at his mom's horse ranch, the doctors ended up going out there and they spent time with him out there. And that was probably the best healing he had, was because the medical professionals went, they met him where his peace was at. Mm-hmm. And that made me think of that. I'm like, that's why that needs to be your niche, is having the medical professionals, whether it's therapists or doctors or whatever, go to the ranch with the person and help them with the horsemanship, because it really does, I don't know, it's like a full circle thing.
That's the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're careful, you know, we joke about, and we think it's a plus that we are not therapists, but we do have therapists that we can pick up the phone and go, think we're getting in over our head with this one, help us out. Mm-hmm. and get real professional advice.
That's good.
Because you know, what we don't want to do is allow somebody that's going down the road of either self-harm or harming somebody else, and we don't pick up on it, or we just kind of look past it. He was just saying that. Mm-hmm. And so we're careful, and we do talk professionals about these guys.
That's awesome. Well, thank y'all for what y'all are doing. That's so cool. And
I talk to you about all day about horses. Yeah. And what I think about with team guys.
I wish we could bring his mom out there. She would freaking love it. And she's at the age where she can't have horses anymore, but she
used to rescue the police horses. That was her thing for a while. That was her thing for a while. Come on. Oh, this is her favorite line to me. I'm like, Mom, I see there's a new horse in the pasture. She's like, don't worry, baby, it's free. It wasn't free.
No.
It's not free.
There's such thing as a free horse.
I mean, she uses that line. She'll come up and touch me. She's like, baby, it's okay. It's free.
Free, right? Meaning Marcus didn't have to pay for it.
Well, I will.
Yeah, that is so funny. I love that woman. She loves horses more than people. And she would just love to see what y'all have going on.
That'd be a true statement too, actually. Yeah.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, and we've talked about this a lot, but you know, a horse is completely honest. They do not know how to lie because it's not a predator. You know, your dog will lie to you because your dog has enough of a prefrontal cortex. It can plan and think, and your keys rattle and the dog goes, I'm about to get in the trash because he's leaving. Mm-hmm. Right. Your horse is, it's like 50 first dates. They're like, oh, there's Marcus. Oh, look, Marcus is here. And they're constantly, they're 100% in the moment. And that's what makes them so valuable to help these guys be in the moment, is because they have to be. They can't be thinking about going home. They can't be thinking about what they just did. They've got to be right there right now with the horse. And so that honesty, that's probably why your mother likes horses better than people, is because they don't lie to you.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't thought about it till you said it like that. But imagine how, because horses are like that. So back in the day when you were with your horse all the time, then you develop the relationship, because then they'll they have to remember after a while, and like because they never took your eyes off of you.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, like Marcus, the analogy that has come to me over the years is this: the horse. I don't know that the horse. I don't know how they remember things. I don't know that they do, but what they are is masters of feel. And so if your phone vibrates and you look down at it and you go, "Oh, that person," you're not thinking, "I don't want to hear from that person. They're always this way. They're always that way." You just have a feeling of dread because you don't want to be around them. Or you look down at your phone and you go, "Oh, this person," and you have a good feeling. And I think that's how horses function. You get out of your truck and they go, "All right, it's a good feeling when they see you." They don't know why. They don't remember why. They just know they want to be with you because it feels better to be with you than to not be with you. And so it's how they seem. You know, I'm not a horse. I don't know, but it's mm-hmm. how it feels.
Last horseback hunt I did up in the mountains, I just remember holding on to that. My camelback froze. And I remember thing about a pony, man, you get lost, let go of the reins, a sucker take you right back home. Yeah. They were kept telling us that. It's like, "Hey, man, one thing about this sucker gets you home, though." Man, it almost is. I mean, they got some programs in there that they are really good at, and they don't break them for anybody.
That's right. Yeah, they know.
They freaking know, man. You want to see something impressive, get up on the mountains with them things.
Where was this at?
Colorado, Utah. I was doing it up
on
there.
On the border.
Real mountains.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, bro. I mean, snow going. I got full benefit. Full kick in the face, benefit, fall
I'd
down.
Say
the
if you
yeah, man.
Camelback froze.
Oh, I don't forget that. And
it was right before our wedding. Wasn't how about it?
The day before my wedding?
Yeah,
I was
like
doing this.
The
this
week
is
how much before
I
remember. Yeah.
I was into it, bro. I really got into hunting with the horses, and we had a great time. But I just remember squeezing that thing as hard as I could and holding on to that saddle horn. Like, "I got you, just please take care of me.
Don't let me fall down the mountain again."
I couldn't see anything. And I was just like, "I trust you completely." I mean, I reverted back to that. And he got me home. I thought he got me home, man.
That's incredible.
It was, man. They're awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for doing this, man. I'll talk. We got stuff coming up in the future, man. We'll get together and we'll help you all out any way we can.
Yeah, I'll send
you
info.
Yeah, we'd love to help you guys out, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you for the time. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, God bless y'all, man.
So how can our listeners help y'all and find you and everything? Can you just give a plug on your organization?
Yeah. Visit us at holdtherains.org. Also find us on Instagram. Most of our content comes out on Instagram and Facebook. We have a gala. We have an awareness event coming up in March.
Okay.
We have a gala that's going to be in May. And then we're going to be full tilt on turning this place into two big pastures. We got a lot of fence posts mm-hmm. to drive in. We got a lot of fence to stretch. We're more than welcome to have people make in-kind donations. We have zero sponsors right now. So I'm looking for a good hat company. For a boot company.
I got one of them.
For some other equipment companies to come in and provide some of that infrastructure. And just like you were talking about, Marcus, like you get the guy the buckle, you get the guy the hat, and he's earned it. He's come out. He's put in work. He's come out. He's been around the horses, and it's shinier than his trident.
Oh, bro, if you make him – I was just thinking when you said working the fence, I was like, I got a teenager, man. I'd love to send him up for the summer just to put fence in.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
And I mean, that's game changer when you have them suckers working fence.
There's no shortage
of
work around here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should have our own Yellowstone ranch up there. But I mean, that freaking big, we're just full of team guys and the horses and doing all that.
We'll send Axe over to their place.
That's the best idea I've heard you say yet.
You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, if we knew that was there,
it's like, "Hey, man, we got a spot. We got a place, man. You can go up there and be cowboy as long as you want."
Hell yeah,
we're doing that. We're making that happen.
Idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Uh-huh.
All right, man. God bless y'all.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for
coming.
God bless
y'all. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Coda
has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.